Okay, good evening. I hope this works. Yeah, it sounds like that. You know, I'm always wondering when there were the thousands of people and Jesus talked to them, for sure he had no microphone, so he must have a powerful voice, and he still has a powerful voice to call people to him. So today I want to talk about a prophet, and his name is Elijah. I think everybody knows him. And if we talk about his life, I think we can spend the whole night here together. But we will not do that for sure. So I want to look at one specific story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we'll read some verses. So if you have a Bible, you can follow me. And I will start in first. I will start in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse. Yeah, let us start at 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubled Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, "How long are you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. So I will stop here for a moment. If we look at this passage, if we look at this story, it's kind of amazing. Everybody is about sports, even in the US. And I'm more the soccer guy still, and you cannot catch me with baseball in this stuff. But what I know is every sport, if you have two teams, you have five people, you have six people, and every team has the same number of people so that the game can be fair. But if we look at this chapter, it is kind of unfair. There is Elijah on one side, and then there are these 450 people, 450 priests for Baal. And what's kind of amazing, it's Elijah who's taking action here. He's telling, okay, bring all these people, bring these 450 men, and I will step against them. So it's Elijah who's starting the action here. And he's not afraid. And we all know why, because he knew that he has God in his back. But still, he took action, and this is real faith at work, strong faith at work. And let us move on. And it's kind of that Elijah will start a challenge with these priests. And we will read from verse 22. "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put it no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry out loud, for he's a god. either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey or peradventure he slept and must be awakened. And they cried out loud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullocks in pieces, and laid them on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he's the God, the Lord, he's the God. So this is a kind of amazing chapter, and if we go through that, it's such incredible what courage Elijah had. There was this time that Israel turned away, and even the we read this in the stones, that even the altar was broken. There was Elijah had to took the stones and he repaired the altar. So everything was, there was really nobody. Nobody was interested in God. And then Elijah stood up and made this challenge. And for sure he started this challenge because he knew God. God is a living God, and there is only one God. And we see these false priests, they started to, Elijah gave them the right to start first. So they started to prepare the offering, they cut the bullock, and they prepared everything. And I'm pretty sure they built a very nice altar with everything you need to build it, and they put the wood very nice around it. And then they start crying to their gods, and we can see this. They started in the morning, and even until noon, there was no answer. And we see this, how Elijah started in verse 27 to say, hey, maybe he's sleeping, or he's talking, or he cannot hear you, or he's on a journey, whatever. And then we see these priests, it's getting even worse. They starting to cut themselves, and we can read this in 28, till the blood gushed out upon them, but still no answer. And we all know why, because they were praying to gods they made themselves. There was no life in these gods. There was like that. And so if we are here today, I'm pretty sure nobody has kind of Baal at home or a small god in the garden and every day he's falling on the ground. I think we are past this time, most of us hopefully, and even the people around us in the world. But we still have our gods in this world. And I heard one man always saying, hey, everything what fills our mind more than God is our God. And this is true. And for some people, can be sports for some people, like me, it can be cars. So we all have our gods, and we have to be very careful with this. And very often we look at the Old Testament especially, and then we read about these gods, and we say, yeah, we don't have this. But this is not true. Also, we have our gods, and we have to take care. We have to pay attention how we spend our time. And we can see these people of Israel at this time, they were following false gods. They were following Baal. And so there were 450 priests available. And that's even scary that in the people of God, the people of Israel, that there were 450 priests for Baal, and there was only one man who had the courage to stand up for God, to stand up for the living God, and to say, hey, today I will show you who is the living God. I will show you where you come from. I will show you the God of your fathers, the God who brought you out of Egypt, who made all these miracles. I will show you today that this God is still there, it's still living. And we can see this when Elijah started to build this altar. And what's so amazing, and it's kind of, when we look at Elijah, he's putting the wood in order. And, you know, when all these priests, they built the altar, there were 450 people building an altar, carrying stones, carrying wood. And then there is Elijah, and we know that he was alone. He was the man, he built the altar alone. He had no help, so he lifted the heavy stones. He took the wood. So it was really, I'm sure he was sweating, and he was working hard. And then he's cutting the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood. And then if you look at this, what he's doing then, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of crazy. He's building this altar in the evening, and then he's telling the people, okay, just take 5 barrels of water and pour it over the offering, over the wood. And this is kind of, it makes no sense. If you want to burn something, you have to use dry wood. And if you make it wet, it will not burn. It's kind of impossible. And then there is also, it's in the evening, so right now with the nice weather outside, every evening when the sun is gone, I'm starting to water our grass, our lawn, because I know, okay, the sun cannot dry it now, and it will stay wet a little bit. And here, during the evening, he's starting to take the wood and to pour water on it. And it's not only one time. So in 34, we see it. Okay, do it a second time, and then do it a third time. And then we see in 35, and the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. So there was a lot of water involved. And he also, the trench we see there, there was a kind of, he made this trench to show the people, okay, I will stay away from the fire. I will stay away from the offering I built here, so that nobody can say, yeah, maybe he threw something in and then it started to burn. No, he built this trench to make sure, hey, everybody is away now, and this is only God's place. This is for him, and he will do it. He will fire, he will send fire, and there is no man involved. And then in verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And then we can see the prayer of Elijah. And we don't know the words, what they really cried, what the Baal priests cried to their gods. We don't know that. It's not written here. It's just telling how they are crying out loud. And we don't know what they cried, but we can see what Elijah, what was his prayer to God. And I will read again through this. And Elijah the prophet came near, that's 36, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God is in Israel. So this is the first thing he said, okay, he's praying to God, let them know this day that thou art God is in Israel. And if we read this prayer of Elijah, it's all about God. it's not about him or show them how good I am or how strong I am. No, it's all about God. Show them that you are God here in Israel and that you are the only God. And then the next thing, and that I am thy servant. This was also kind of important for Elijah, that they can see that God sent Elijah and that he's his servant, God's servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. And again, we can see this, thy word. So this is to show the people, hey, everything we are doing here is according to God's word. And that's why that's why God is hearing his prayer, Elijah's prayer. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And this is kind of interesting to see this. So it is not Elijah at the end who's turning them back. Elijah knew that if the people just follow him, or if they turn back because of him, this is not for a long time. So he's praying that God will turn them back, because this is what needed. It's not needed that people follow Elijah. No, they have to turn back to God. And at this point, 38, the fire of the Lord fell. So this, just imagine how this was. There were all these people, all these Baal priests, and then there was this big offering, the trench, and everything was full of water. And then once in a moment, the fire of the Lord fell down. That must be an amazing show, actually. That must be amazing firework, how the fire fell down. And it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. Now that's kind of amazing that we see here. It consumed the stone. So everything was captured by the fire. Everything went away. And even the water, which is kind of impossible, that the water is just licked up and the water is gone. All the trench was filled with water. But when the fire of the Lord fell down, it licked up the water that was in the trench. And for sure, at that point, all the people, they saw, okay, this is the difference. Something has happened here. After the morning show, which was kind of boring maybe, because there were just some crazy people crying out, and then at the end, they starting to cut their arms, and it was kind of weird show, I think, and nothing happened. And then at the evening, this one man stood up and built this offering before the water, and then this fire came down and everything just burned away. And that's why we see here, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And I think this is the only thing they could do, just fell on their faces to see, hey, we surely followed the wrong God. We were wrong. And we can see this here, this kind of repentance. They turn away from these false gods, from these Baal priests, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. That was the final conclusion of this story for all the people, that the Lord, he is God. And there is no other God beside him. Of course, if we look in the we can look in the next chapter and we will find again that people are turning away. That was kind of story of the people of Israel. But at this point, again, God had his man, Elijah, to turn their hearts back to him again. And if we go through all the history of people of Israel, we know that there were always men turning their hearts back to God. And if we are here today, we are looking at the people of Israel, but we can also look at ourselves. Very often what we read in the beginning, when Elijah asked the people of Israel, how long hold you between two opinions? And how often we are doing that? How often we don't know which way we go, and we are kind of, yeah, we have to do that, but actually I prefer that, and how often we are turning away from God. And this is exactly what we see in the Bible. This is not what God wants us. And especially this walking on both sides is kind of very dangerous. And that's what Elijah is telling them. Okay, if the Lord is our God, then let us follow him. And if Baal is God, then follow him. And we can see this even at the end of the Bible when we see these letters to all the assemblies. What borders, I think it was Laodicea, and God is saying about them that they are kind of, they are not warm and they are not cold, so they are kind of in the middle. And how often is it in our lives that we are kind of, yeah, we are not warm, we are not hot, and we are not cold. We are just in the middle, trying to go between, some way between. But this is not God's way. There's just one way with God, and all other ways are against God. And this is something we can learn from this story too. And Elijah stood up and pointed that out. Hey, you are not following God. You are trying to go maybe a way between. You are trying one day maybe you're offering to Baal and the next day you're offering to God. This is not how it works. There's only one God and you have to serve. You can serve this God or your other gods, but there is no way between. And this is still today, and even in our lives we have to look, hey, where do we have our gods? Where is there any place where we, in our heart, where we have our hidden gods? And then there is also this other point we can learn from Elijah, and this is especially for, I want to address this also to us as men. This is the courage to stand up, to be bold enough to stand up for God, and to be strong, to be brave, because we know that we have God in our back. And this is important. This is what we need in these times, in church, but also in our lives, at work, in our family. We have to be strong. We have to stand up. And yeah, we have to grab the bullet by his horns. And God gave us the power for this. And we can see this in Luke 12, verse 8. If just turn to Luke 12, verse 8. These are the words of Jesus. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before man, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. So this is what Jesus said. This is his promise. If we turn to him, if we confess him, he will not step back. He will not sleep like the God of Baal. He's not on a journey or has no time. He will be there. And if we turn to him, if we confess him, he will confirm this. And this is what we need, and we need this trust, we need this faith like Elijah had it to stand up for God, for his work, and trust in him that he will do everything. And even if we are afraid that our performance is maybe not enough, it's like we can build this bridge from Elijah. He built this altar, and then he put all the water on it, which makes no sense. Because you don't make it better with that. But I think we can learn from this. It's not about our performance. It's not about building the altar, the offering as perfect as we can. The main point here is that Elijah had faith. And his motivation in what he was doing was to show God. He wanted to point his finger to God and say, hey, this is God. This is the only living God. And that's why God sent this fire. That's why he showed the people, hey, this is my man and this is, I am God. So we can learn from this. It's sometimes we are maybe afraid to stand up, whatever it is in church or at work. We are afraid because we think, I don't know if I'm that good, or yeah, just let me wait. I'm not sure if I'm doing that right now. But if we stand up to point the finger to God, he will help us and he will confirm it. Although the altar is maybe wet and maybe there is something not right, maybe the stone is not perfect, God will send fire. God will be on our side always. if we trust in him. And this is exactly what Elijah did. His motivation was not to, you know, to be the big winner of the game at the end. It was not his motivation. At the end, he stepped back. He just pointed to the Lord and said, "Hey, please, Lord, confirm that you are God and that you are living, that you are out there." And God did so. And at the end, it's kind of, if we read this, when God sent the fire, the people fell down. And verse 40, "And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the Brook Kishon and slew them there." It's kind of, if you read that, when I read this the first time, really, it's kind of horrible what we read here. I mean, they took these 450 men and they slew them, they slaughtered them to death. But this is, we can see also a picture here after they saw this miracle, after they saw, hey, this is really God, this is our God. They stopped with their old life. They cut off. They slaughtered these prophets of Baal. There was no more need for them, because they realized, hey, this is just, they just had their freaky show. There's nothing behind it. And this is also very important in our lives. Sometimes we just have to cut off with our, with all this stuff we have next to God, with our own gods. We have to cut off with this life. And this is exactly what we can see here, what the people of Israel did with all these Baal priests. And so if you look at Elijah, I think we can learn so much for our life, and there are even more stories about him. But especially in this story, what I want to encourage everybody is just to be encouraged to stand up. God is still out there, and he's waiting for us that we use his power on this world. And he wants us to challenge him, to show people, hey, God is there, God is a living God, and he can still do miracles. God wants us to stand up, to be strong. Don't be afraid. Just stand up, although there are 450 men against you, and I think nobody from us was ever in this situation, but sometimes maybe it feels like 450 people. But if God is behind us, if we have this in our mind, if we seek God, God will help us and God will be there. And then there is this other thing we can learn also from Elijah, that all the story of Elijah is just turning the people of Israel back to God. And here we can look at our lives to see where we are struggling, where we have our gods, where we have our gods beside the true living God. And then let us focus again on living for the one true God, for the one true living God. And this is what I encourage everybody. And as we read in James 2:26, we can see this in Elijah's life very good. So, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And this shall not be the case in our life. Faith, if we look at this story, if we look at Elijah, we see faith at work. We see this faith. He trusted in this God. And he knew God is stronger than everybody, and I can stand up for him, and he will help me out. And this is what we can learn from Elijah. And so I want to encourage everybody, including me, just go out this week, wherever you are, be strong and be encouraged to stand up for God, because if you confess him, he will confess. He will be next to you. He will be on your side. And this is our hope. This is our promise. And this is the only way we can really experience God, and it will change our lives for sure.